Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, hand-me-downs. Very likely we have all received them, and chances are we have all given them. Maybe you were a young child, and you had the exact same clothes and the toys that your older siblings had. Or maybe as a parent, when you buy a new car, instead of selling the old one, you hand it down to one of your children. We all receive hand-me-downs. We have all given them. But there are some things that are handed down to us that we deeply cherish. Maybe you have received a family heirloom that has been passed down from generation to generation. And when you have received that, why do you cherish it so much? Maybe you cherish it because it's the only physical thing that you have left of a past loved one. Maybe you cherish it because that item brings back so many memories that you had with that person. Tonight, we look at something that Jesus has handed down to us for us to cherish and to remember him by, and it's the sacrament of Holy Communion. And when Jesus instituted this sacrament, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So when did Jesus institute this sacrament? Paul told us that it happened on the night that he was betrayed. In less than a day, Jesus would be arrested, he would be put on trial, and he would be sentenced to death by crucifixion. But before these events happened, Jesus had one last supper with his disciples. And this wasn't just an ordinary meal. It was the Passover meal. For 1,500 years, the Jewish people have been celebrating this meal, remembering how God rescued them from slavery into Egypt and brought them to safety. And to make sure the Jewish people would remember what God did for them, he instituted the Passover meal and told them how to celebrate it. One of the most important things of the meal was the lamb. The lamb reminded the Jewish people of how the Israelites took a year-old lamb without any defect, slaughtered it, and put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts. So that during the 10th plague, when God came to destroy every firstborn in the land of Egypt, God would see that blood on their homes, pass over them, and therefore saving them from the destruction of that plague. But not only was the lamb an important part of the meal, so also were the unleavened bread and the wine. The unleavened bread reminded the Jewish people of how quickly the Israelites left Egypt. The very next day after the 10th plague, the Israelites were allowed to leave Egypt, and they didn't even have time to bake bread with leaven in it. And the wine was an important part of the meal, because the wine was a major staple of all Jewish meals. The Passover meal had so many memories attached to it that the Jewish people cherished. But Jesus took this meal and made it even more important for us to cherish in our lives. He took the bread, he took the wine, and he said, "This is my body, this is my blood." But what does Jesus mean when he says, "This is my body and this is my blood"? Some have understood this to mean that the bread and the wine symbolize Jesus' body and blood. And therefore, by partaking in this sacrament, we are just to remember who Jesus is and what he has done. But that's not what Jesus said here. Others have taken this to mean that the bread and the wine have changed into Christ's body and blood. And therefore, the bread and the wine are no longer present in the sacrament. But that's not what Jesus said here either. Jesus did not say, this symbolizes my body. He did not say, this has changed into my blood. He said, this is my body. This is my blood. Jesus is truly present in, with, and under the bread and the wine in this sacrament. Therefore, when we partake in this sacrament, we receive four things: the bread, the wine, and the body and blood of Christ. Communion is a real presence remembrance. But why is this so important for us to understand? Why do we have to realize that Jesus' body and blood are truly present in this meal with the bread and the wine? Well, the reason that this is so important for us to understand is because when we partake in this sacrament, we do this out of remembrance of him. So what are we remembering about Christ? Paul told us, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." When we partake in this sacrament, there are many things that we are proclaiming about our Lord. The very fact that Jesus gives us his body and blood in this sacrament, we are proclaiming that Jesus, the Son of God, took on human flesh. We are proclaiming the reason why Jesus took on human flesh, which was to live a perfect life and die for our sins. And finally, we are also proclaiming that Jesus did not remain dead in the grave. For if Jesus had remained dead, then we would remain dead in our own sins. But since Jesus rose from the dead and now gives us his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, it is Christ's perfect life, his innocent suffering and death, and his glorious resurrection that we receive in this sacrament. And that is what we proclaim. For communion is a real presence remembrance. And since Jesus gives us his body and blood in this sacrament, we are to treat it with the utmost respect. But what if someone abused this sacrament? It's a terrible thought, but that's exactly what the Corinthians were doing. They were abusing this sacrament. In fact, some of them got drunk before they came forward to receive Christ's body and blood. And that is why Paul said, "Whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord." Anyone who partakes in this sacrament in an unworthy way sins against the very body and blood of Christ. So what makes a person unworthy to receive the sacrament? You may think that the answer to that question is sin. And it is true that sin makes us unworthy for the sacrament. But remember, the sacrament is given for the forgiveness of our sins. Therefore, what truly makes a person unworthy of this sacrament is unbelief. If someone does not trust in Christ and trust in the promises that Christ gives in this sacrament, they are not worthy of it. So who does this apply to? Well, obviously it applies to unbelievers. For they do not believe in Christ. They do not trust that Jesus is their Savior from sin. But it also applies to Christians, to believers who do not repent of their sins. Jesus gives us his body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Therefore, if someone refuses to repent of their sins and refuses to turn away from their sins, then they are sinning against the body and blood of our Lord. This is why Paul stressed, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Remember that Jesus' body and blood are truly present in this meal, whether we believe it or not. And we receive Christ's body and blood, whether we examine ourselves or not. But if we do not examine ourselves before we take communion, if we do not believe that Christ is truly present in this meal, then we do not receive the blessings of this sacrament, which are forgiveness of sins and life. Instead, we only receive God's judgment of our sins and his condemnation of eternal death. That is why it is so important for us to examine ourselves each and every time we come forward to the altar. But what does it mean to examine ourselves? How do we know that we will be receiving communion in a worthy manner? Well, to properly prepare yourself for communion, ask yourself these questions. Do I recognize that I am a sinner? Am I sorry for the sins that I have committed? Do I trust in Jesus as my Savior from those sins? Do I believe that Jesus' body and blood are truly present with the bread and the wine? And do I desire to turn away from my sins? If you have said yes to all of these questions, you have properly examined yourself and you will receive communion in a worthy manner. But maybe right now you are wondering to yourselves, have I always properly examined myself before taking communion? Have I ever received this sacrament in an unworthy manner? Do I ever abuse this sacrament? Maybe there are times that you have treated Holy Communion as a rite of passage, that since you are confirmed, you have every right to come forward to receive Christ's body and blood. Maybe you have treated Holy Communion as a habit, that since communion is being offered, you come forward to receive Christ's true body and blood without recognizing the reason for the sacrament. And maybe when you have received the sacrament, you were not repentant for your sins, and you did not desire to turn away from your sins. When we have done this, and we all have, we have sinned against our God and brought judgment on ourselves. And so maybe tonight you feel afraid to come forward to receive communion. You want to make sure that you do not receive communion in an unworthy manner. But remember the reason that Jesus instituted this sacrament. He did not give us communion to torture us with doubt and grief. Jesus lived a perfect life and died to take away your sins. Therefore, Jesus instituted this sacrament to comfort us and to assure us that our sins are forgiven. So even if we have received the sacrament of Holy Communion unworthily throughout our whole lives, by coming forward tonight with a repentant heart and trusting in Christ as our Savior, our sins, each and every one of them, will be forgiven. Communion is a gospel remembrance. For we remember the promises that Christ gave to us. Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Take and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Therefore, don't be afraid to come forward to receive Christ's true body and blood. Come with a repentant heart and trusting in the promises of Christ, that he gives you his body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins. This is what Jesus has handed down to us. And by partaking in the sacrament, we do this out of remembrance of him. Communion is a real presence remembrance. For we remember and believe that Christ's body and blood are truly present in this meal with the bread and the wine. And communion is a gospel remembrance. For we remember and believe that Jesus gives us his body and blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Therefore, come forward and receive the blessings that Christ gives you in this sacrament. And by doing this, we fulfill his command when he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our faith by using a few excerpts from Luther's Small Catechism. What is the sacrament of Holy Communion? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ for us Christians to eat and to drink. What blessing do we receive through this eating and drinking? That is shown us by these words, given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Through these words, we receive forgiveness of sins, life and salvation in this sacrament. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. How can eating and drinking do such great things? It is certainly not the eating and drinking that does such things, but the words given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. These words are the main thing in this sacrament, along with the eating and drinking. And whoever believes these words has what they plainly say, the forgiveness of sins. Who then is properly prepared to receive this sacrament? Fasting and other outward preparations may serve a good purpose, but he is properly prepared who believes these words, given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. But whoever does not believe these words or doubts them is not prepared, because the words for you require nothing but hearts that believe. You may be seated for the offering.